As we turn to God's word this morning and to that passage that I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want particularly this morning to focus on the sixth verse. Paul reminds us that it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And particularly this morning, I want to consider the glory of God revealed, as it's presented to us in three aspects in this verse and in its surrounding context. Paul tells us that the glory of God is revealed, firstly, in the face of Jesus Christ. That is, that we see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It's possible that the apostle has in view here the encounter that Moses had with God. You'll remember how Moses asked to be shown the glory of God, and how God then in response said it would be impossible for any human being to see him fully and survive the experience. But he was gracious to Moses and allowed him to see his back, as it were, to see a portion of God. And in doing so, he hid him in a cleft of the rock and put his hand over him until he had passed by. And then Moses viewed the rearward parts of God. After Moses had had that experience and had returned to the camp of the Israelites, we're told that his face literally shone with the reflected glory of the living God. Is this what Paul is talking about when he says that the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ? Well, while he may well have that image in his mind, at the very least be seeing it as an example, as a picture of the real thing. The glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ is far more than simply a reflection of God's glory. It is the very essence of God's glory. Jesus himself said to his disciples when they asked to be shown the Father, he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And of course, having been given a little bit more of an understanding of who Jesus was as they stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus met with Moses and Elijah there, Peter and James and John were all dumbstruck at what they saw. God's glory revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we consider the life of Christ, when we read through the gospel accounts about Jesus, when we then go on to read through the epistles of Paul and of Peter, of James and of John, and consider what they have to say to explain further the things that were revealed in the gospel, there we have an account of the person and work of Christ that is intended to teach us the character and the glory of the living God. Jesus tells us if we, not necessarily with our naked eyes, but if we have seen him through the pages of Scripture, if we have seen him by faith, we have seen the Father. We have seen the glory of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ as it's revealed for us in the pages of Scripture. We don't need any spectacular vision to understand the glory of God. We are not somehow handicapped by living in the 21st century rather than at the beginning of the first century, that we don't walk the streets of Jerusalem listening to Jesus or observe his miracles beside the Sea of Galilee. Neither are we in any way hamstrung by the fact that we live today in our mundane everyday life, rather than standing at the foot of Sinai and seeing the storm clouds roll in and hearing the thunder and seeing the lightning and then the voice of God himself speaking. We are in no way inferior today than those who did walk the streets of Jerusalem and view the miracles beside the Sea of Galilee, or stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and saw those awesome things take place. Indeed, if anything, I suggest to you that we are in a more privileged position than any of them. Those people at Mount Sinai quaked and cowered and pleaded with Moses, "This is too much for us. We cannot hear the voice of God. You go and talk to him." Those people who walked the streets of Jerusalem and saw the miracles beside the Sea of Galilee certainly heard wonderful teaching and incredible things. But how much more we have in the full revelation of God in his word. How much more help we have to understand who Jesus was, what his work was. Such were the shadows and uncertainties that even John the Baptist sent messengers to Jesus to get confirmation that what he had been teaching and preaching concerning his cousin was right and true and trustworthy. They lived in the days of partial revelation. We live in the days of complete revelation in the Bible, in the Scriptures. And it is there that we see the person of Jesus Christ revealed. And it is there in this book that we can observe the glory of God revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Revealed to us in a way that we can understand. Not some ephemeral sort of way. Not in a way that we can't get our hands on, so to speak. Not in some mystical way, but in real, concrete terms. Displayed to us through someone who appears like us and yet is so different from us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who from his conception through to his ascension lived an absolutely perfect life. Free from any sin in any form whatsoever. In Jesus Christ, someone whose actions we can understand, whose words we can take in and digest. Here, God has chosen to reveal himself and his glory. These are things that are knowable. They are things that we can take on board and share with other people. Paul describes it as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not some strange experience that might cause us to shudder and quake and faint, but which we cannot intelligently articulate to others. No, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is knowable. It's understandable. It's communicable. God has revealed his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. He's revealed his glory into human hearts. I think more than Moses' encounter with God, Paul is probably thinking of his own encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke records that conversion experience of the Apostle Paul. And a further two times, Luke recounts how Paul himself testified to that conversion experience. And we have then a very reliable record of how this man, this person who called himself the least of the apostles and one born out of due season, how he was confronted face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sight surrounded him on his way to Damascus, where he was intending to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. And a voice came to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why? Why are you persecuting me?" To which Saul replied, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus." And that brightness, that light, was the beginnings for Paul of a great transformation. Because you see, at that very moment, Paul was actually blinded. But in his heart, he began to see things he had never seen before. This is the Apostle Paul, a man who previously had observed the stonings of Stephen, the first martyr, and consented to his death. A man who had been instructed by the greatest Jewish theologians of his day. A man who was aspiring to be a great leader in the Jewish religion. And a man who was considered by others to have incredible gifts. For all his knowledge, for all the teaching that he possessed, for all the experiences that he had been through so far in his life, as a spiritual student and even a teacher, the Apostle Paul didn't understand, hadn't seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But on that road to Damascus he did. On that road to Damascus, while his physical eyes may have been covered with scales, the eyes of faith were opened up to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No longer was he uncertain of what all the prophets had spoken. Those prophecies that he had studied and puzzled over and had come to conclusions on, which were all wrong. Suddenly, in a moment, as he sees who Jesus is, it all becomes clear. That's how it is that the Apostle Paul, with any preaching and teaching in Damascus, sharing his new faith, not a novice, you see, though a new convert. He used to say of John Bunyan that if you were to prick his skin, his blood was bibbling. Verses would pour out. But Paul was like that, even before his conversion. He knew the scriptures. But what happened at his conversion was that his eyes were opened. And he saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And suddenly, the whole of the Old Testament, which he knew so well, made sense. And he could preach from glorious passages like Isaiah 53. And see how its wonderful conclusion is found in the death of Jesus Christ, who died not for his own sins, but was bruised for our iniquities, was punished for our transgressions. Suddenly the symbols of sacrifice given to Moses made sense, and he understood how Jesus dying on a Roman cross rather than being a complete failure could be the triumphant saviour of all who would trust in him. Because, you see, Paul's eyes were opened. The light shone into his heart, and the knowledge that he had, which before was useless, now became so meaningful to him. And this was the work of God. God did it. For all his great learning, the Apostle Paul could never understand these things by himself. For all the wisdom of Gamaliel, his teacher, who from the few quotes we have of him in our New Testament seemed to be a very wise man, but as blind as the Apostle Paul before his encounter with Jesus. And in fact, what Paul tells us here in this verse is that to come to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is as great an experience as the creation of the world. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone into our hearts. It is the God who spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, who speaks even today, and he says, "Let there be light in that person's heart. Let the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shine into that person's heart. Let the knowledge of the scriptures that they may have known for years now be meaningful to them." And just as at creation's dawn, when God spoke, it was so. On the road to Damascus, when God spoke, it was so. And for many of us here this morning, when God spoke, the light shone. Our chains fell off. Our hearts were free. We rose, went forth, and followed the Lord God. Not something we can do ourselves. It is the miraculous work of God, transforming a sinner into a saint as the glory of the Creator of the universe is revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But that's not all that we can say about the glory of God revealed in this verse. Yes, it's revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ. And yes, it's revealed into our hearts by the word of God's power. But it's also revealed to others through us. In the earlier verses, Paul makes it very clear that he's not his own servant. He's not pursuing his own will. That he is very much the servant of the church for the sake of Jesus Christ, who has commissioned him as a preacher of the gospel. He says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And it's in that context that he then says it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts. That is the knowledge that he is proclaiming. When we have the glory of God revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ, when that knowledge comes into our hearts through the light of the gospel, it isn't for us only. It's not for us to keep hidden in our hearts, but it's for us to reveal to others also. All of us here this morning, I imagine, all of us who are Christians because someone shared the gospel with us. Now, it does occasionally happen that someone comes to faith in Christ purely through having picked up a tract somewhere, or picked up a Gideon's Bible in a hotel, or something like that. But probably 99 times out of 100, it's through personal testimony. It's through someone saying, "This is what happened to me. My life was transformed. I was a completely changed person. Before, I just lived for myself." And perhaps some would say, "Though I went to church every Sunday of my life, and I thought I was doing the right thing and living a good life, suddenly the light was turned on in my heart. Suddenly I realized that I've been basing all my hopes and the assurance of eternal life on my attendance of church, on my being a reasonably good person. God revealed to me that I can only know him through Jesus Christ. And my sins can only be forgiven through Jesus Christ. That I can only be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That I can have no other hope for eternity except what is found in Jesus Christ." And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ became everything to me. And it didn't matter how sound my theology had been before, suddenly it was alive. It wasn't just a series of "I believe, I believe, I believe," and be able to tick them off. Now it was a life-giving stream of light into my heart that completely transformed me. For others, it would be a completely new revelation. "I never knew what Christianity was about. Never been to church." Then suddenly, someday, as I was walking down the street, someone came up to me and said, "Do you go to church? Can I give you this tract? Will you read it? Can I talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ?" And having nothing better to do, I thought, well, as well listen to what he's got to say. One thing led to another, and I began to understand my sin, how I had offended Almighty God. And my eyes were open to see the predicament that I was in, that I was heading to a lost eternity, and that without somehow changing my life, I was doomed. And I read that tract. I began going to church and heard about Jesus. I committed my whole life to him. Someone spoke to you because the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ had spoken to them and was shared with you. God is a glorious God. This is a glorious Saviour. And when the glory of God is revealed into our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ, nothing should stop us from sharing it with others. The Apostle Paul traversed land and sea. He endured all kinds of predicaments, hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. But he kept going. He kept persevering. Not crushed, not in despair, not struck down to the point of being destroyed, not utterly forsaken. He endured so that he could share what had been revealed to him of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is our commission, is it not, brothers and sisters? This is the thing that must motivate us from day to day. To see the Lord Jesus Christ. To honour the Lord Jesus Christ. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And by God's grace and with his strength, we can do so. And through us, others will come to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And through them, others. And so it will go on until Jesus himself comes. And we see him not through the pages of Scripture, and not only with the eye of faith, but we see him face to face. The glorious day that will be. Are you ready for that day? Are you living for that day?